Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We you know, we have attitude. We're moving, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Show is back, and we're here to discuss everything that is college football. Now, of course, you can always check us out at Apple Podcasts, aka iTunes. This whole show here is underneath the Rope It Up Radio podcast. Check us out on iTunes, Player FM, Stitcher, TuneIn, and a variety of other places as well, and hopefully some new places as well. So anyway, we do this on a weekly basis. We'll take this college football, part of the College Ball Show. Of course, we're on football right now. Even though basketball has started, we've actually had some decent games so far. Actually, some really good games. But anyway, college football all the way to the national title. What is that, January 10th? January 8th? Something like that. Then we'll take about a week off, and it'll just be our normal schedule. We'll go right into college basketball, take that to the NCAA title game. And then we switch to the NBA playoffs, the NBA finals, and, of course, the NBA free agency. So you'll be stuck with us all the way till early July. Anyway, let's get into this. You know, it's kind of funny. I'm watching this Miami-Virginia game, and the point spread, you know, I thought was way too wide. I actually did put money on the point spread. The blog I wrote today, my prediction blog, I'm about to bring in my co-host Marshall in just a second. This is how it's titled. What a Difference a Week Makes is a theme that defies basically last week. And last week was a prime example. You know, you had Ohio State just getting smashed by Iowa. They come back and completely thrash a hot Michigan State team. If you look at what's going on in this game with Miami doing what they're doing right now, actually kind of looking like they did a handful of games ago. And normally, I got to admit, I'd be stressed out. Maybe even I'd come up with an excuse to do the show a little later today and let this game happen. But a couple of weeks ago, as a Miami fan, I did say it doesn't matter what happens. Now, do I want to lose to Virginia today? Hell no. But a couple of weeks ago, I said, just give me Virginia Tech. We can literally lose the next three. And I just want to get in the ACC title game and get this ball rolling as a program. And that's what we've accomplished. And maybe, you know, maybe, just maybe, if it wasn't those four games in a row that were close, especially the Florida State and the Georgia Tech back-to-back weekends, I mean, the shit's going to come back and smack you in the head. And that's what it looks like it's doing right now. But I'm still happy in a weird way just because it's been like 13 or 14 years since they've had a really good season. So in this strange way, even if they lost today, I'd be bummed, but I wouldn't ultimately be that pissed, which is kind of crazy. But anyway, the other marquee matchup, and that, you know, this is now a marquee matchup because we're deep in the fourth quarter. Although, like I said, the point spread, I did anticipate this to be a very tight game. The writing was on the wall for a letdown. I mean, you can't come off of last week's performance. You know, Virginia Tech was really good, but the offense still didn't play that great. They had three interceptions, But last week they put it all together, and what a difference a week makes, right? That's kind of what the theme was. But Wisconsin's up 21-10. Looks like they're in control. Couple other tight games. Mississippi State on the road is in danger of losing to Arkansas, which Arkansas obviously not having a great game. And then to go with that theme, and Marshall, I'm about to bring you in, but to go with that theme from last week going in to this week that it still seems alive, my Minnesota Gophers destroyed. They put up 54 points. It's like the most points they've scored in Big Ten history. The quarterback had the best quarterback day. We had the fifth best running day. Of course, we were playing Nebraska, but still, in the turnaround, what a difference a week makes. 39-0. They just get smoked. We do have some interesting games a little later. I wonder what's going to happen in that Navy-Notre Dame game. You know, could they be just so pissed off from last week? I don't know, but that's one that I look at and go, huh, I wonder how that's going to play out. So anyway, long story short, I'm going to go ahead and bring in Marshall. What's going on, Marshall? How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. It's nice to have a break away from teaching and coaching kids. So the vacation's off to a good start.
Oh, you got a little vacay, huh?
Yeah, got Thanksgiving week off. We finished the football season in third place. Basketball started last Thursday, so we're 0-1 okay. For all of our teams. But it's game one. But yeah, nice little 10 days of no teaching, no kids. This morning, a soccer game I enjoyed watching started off with a team I hate losing. So vacation's off to a good sport start. Now, clearly, it could massively change, but at least for the first sporting event of my vacation, it went the way it should. So, yeah, it's time to enjoy some time off, my friend, and watch some football and have some fun.
You got to recharge the batteries, am I right? You got to just kind of be like, I love all this stuff, but I got to focus in on just me.
Yeah, I just want to enjoy not waking up at 5:15. Today I woke up at 6:20. But
sleeping in.
Yeah, 6:20 feels like a godsend compared to 5:15 in that alarm and stumbling my way out the door to take a shower and all that stuff. So, yeah, it's off to a good start. Now, sadly, I would say this weekend is probably the most unexotic weekend for matchups of football, but that doesn't mean crazy stuff can't happen. The one thing that bothers me a little bit, Chris, is the fact that almost every good game today is all on right now.
Right, and we don't have that World Series excuse that we had a month ago when we noticed that there wasn't anything in prime time and all those games were at 2:30. Yeah, that kind of threw me off too, dude.
Yeah, because I'm back home, and hopefully talk you up show, but I need to meet up with you for a beer to Sox and football too, but I come back home where I only have one television with my parents. It's not quite my setup at home with two, so I'm like, all right, what game am I going to watch at 11? And I'm like, all right, well, Mississippi State, Arkansas, that SEC game, I was just going through channel. I'm like, yeah, that's okay. And then Michigan, Wisconsin, well, that's at 11. Well, TCU, Texas Tech, that's at 11. Texas and West Virginia, that's at 11. Well, I can't miss the Badger game, and I like watching Memphis because all I do is score. I'm like going through my head, I'm like, oh, my God. And UCF, who's the undefeated team, I kind of like watching them. I'm like, okay, I have one television with seven games to watch, and then I'm meeting up for dinner with a friend tonight, and I'm like, well, what do I get to watch tonight? And it's like, I get Missouri, who, unless you're a Mizzou fan, don't really give a shit about them playing Vanderbilt, and USC and UCLA. So it's like, you got to give us eight good games to start off the day, and then at night it's like, LSU and someone. Like, it's like, holy cow,
UCLA's playing USC. Cal's play. Yeah, I don't understand that. That totally threw me off, man. Like you said, in prime time, LSU and Tennessee, who just lost the coach. Like, of course, that may spark them. But you know what I mean? I agree. It really throws me off. It's like, what is going on tonight? The NFL's not playing tonight on Saturdays. Like, I don't understand how this happened. I don't get it. Especially, like, A lot of times it's, you know, it's its own, you know, it's going right after each other. Like, why? It's kind of strange, dude. And, you know, ESPN, because ABC and ESPN is the same thing, they're like, oh, you're going to put that Michigan-Wisconsin game on? All right, fine. We're going to put ours on ABC then, dude. So they put Miami on ABC.
Sure.
It's like, what the hell are you thinking? It is crazy, dude. I that one threw me off, and at least the World Series made more sense, not the old head-to-head deep in that series, this one just got me scratching my head.
Yeah, and, you know, to quickly touch on last week and my thoughts and yours as we move ahead, like you always said, we don't need to go back too far. We would have done a show Tuesday, but I had work drama, which threw me out for a loop, so another reason to be proud to be away from coworkers. But last weekend was a pretty crazy weekend overall. I mean, you had all the big key matchups, and I'm kicking myself because for your Notre Dame Miami game, it hit me. I'm like, you know what? Like, this is maybe the biggest game the Hurricane fans have gotten up for in like maybe a decade or so for a regular season game, and it just kind of hit me last night. I'm like, God,
more than a decade.
I got a feeling that like they're gonna win. Like that crowd's gonna be out of their mind, and like, and then you see the first couple of plays, and again, even at that night there were so many games on, but you saw Notre Dame not run the ball, and you're like, dude, if you can't run the ball against them, like to start off the game, which is what you're known for, for the last 3 weeks, all we heard was Notre Dame's run game is unstoppable, and then that gets stuffed. And you see that quarterback shaking, get a little nervous and not having much confidence in his passing, throw a couple of picks, and you're like, well, dude, this one's over. And then Oklahoma and TCU, in my head, my whole week, I'm thinking, well, TCU's defense always steps up in these games. There's no way that Baker's going to keep rolling. And Baker Mayfield, even when he gets pinged in the knees, he's like, dude, I'm Baker Mayfield. I'm just going to chuck the ball, and I don't care. and he was ripping it down the field. So it was kind of like two huge games, and you're like, after the first quarter of both, you're like, are these games going to be close? And I guess the TCU-Oklahoma score wasn't atrocious, like kind of Miami laid the smack down Notre Dame, but I don't think watching that game as a TCU fan, you ever really felt, you know, like you were having too good of a shot, my friend. I mean, maybe
even
you're
when
diehard,
they got back into it scoreboard wise, there really was no choice. It really was that Bama Mississippi State game. You're right.
Yeah, and I turned that on, and for my quick little rant there, it's like, dude, if you're Mississippi State, I get that you're playing a superior team, but you got to go for the jugular when you have a chance to win. And for that game recap, quickly to fast forward, it was a tied game, and Bama goes down the field to kick a field goal. It's about 2.5 minutes to go, and they miss it. And then Mississippi State had the ball on like their own 20-25, and they went pretty conservative for play calling. They did like a draw on first down, did try a pass on second on third down. It was like a really conservative play call. And you punt the ball back to Bama, and of course they win. But it's like, you know, what Chris, at what point, what do you have to lose? It's like, your season will not be considered a joke if you lose to Alabama. So it's your ball. I don't see why in your mind you'd really want to go to play for overtime. So to have some conservative play calling, you know, in my opinion, when you have the ball 2.5 minutes going against Bama, and if you can score, you can win, just a couple of those calls is like, dude, go for it. I know Bama's defense is good, but they were on an off night that night due to injuries. So just to see what appeared to be kind of like, well, guys, we don't want to ruin this now. Let's look at maybe going into overtime. That kind
right.
of mindset approach, which kind of came off me on the television along with a couple of my buddies. I'm like, dude, who cares? Throw a deep ball. Go for a play. Try to reverse, or just don't take the conservative approach, because as you can tell, Bama gets the ball back. They march down the field, and, you know, game over. I mean, I guess they end up throwing a Hail Mary. But I just sometimes I think, when, you know,
yeah, the last
adage
two
in football.
You're right. The last two possessions, I don't know. You're right. There was something where you're like, I'm not even talking about. I should say the second and third last, not the last, because like you said, they did go for the Hail Mary. But
yeah
I hear you. I thought that too when I watched the second half of that, kind of rewatched it because I was at work. I thought the same thing, man. And like you said, especially after, you know, you got that missed field goal. It's like, especially coming off of a drive, I thought you got kind of lucky on a play to get a first down. It does seem like they needed to, like you said, go for it and not just contain it and think, all right, you know, our defense playing so good that they're, you know. And by the way, McCain's got a little bit of cushion now. Rozier ran it in from about 9 yards out. They're up 10. So that's good. Just wanted to throw that out there. But, yeah, I agree with you. When you have a team like that, you just got to go for it. Now, you don't want to do the dumbest stuff. We're not asking you to get way out of it. I mean, we know that you're a running team and stuff, but maybe a little play action. I don't know. I know what you mean, though. When you got them, you got to go.
Yeah, and that was the part where it was like, man. You know, and I'll say this to move on from Bam game, but if they don't get injured people back, they could be in a world of hurt against Auburn. You can't run the ball because I mean, you and I have watched Bam a lot. I mean, since we've been friends or even before. I mean, Bam has always been known for a defense. And that was
in linebackers,
that game, Chris,
especially,
where,
you know?
Yeah.
The linebackers make so many plays on that in that offense or in that defense because the line is, you know, it just kind of holds like, we'll hold them, you get them.
Mm-hmm. And to see a Mississippi State team who's not a bad team, they're like probably a top 20 team in the country, to gash them time after time, it's like you almost never, ever see that. So I know Bama's lost some people to injury, and I think a few are going to be able to come back, but, I mean, that is one of the worst performances I've seen, and I know we're being very picky, but we also hold Alabama up to a very high caliber. But that run defense, just it was giving up 4 to 5 yards a play every play. And to, I guess, tie in nicely to Auburn game, the smackdown, that's an issue. I don't know the Bama injury roster off the top of my head exactly. I do know they've lost quite a few linebackers for the season. I do believe a couple last week were hurt with the chance of coming back later. That defense that played Mississippi State comes on the field against Auburn. That Jalen Hurts and the offense better be ready to score because if you can't stop Mississippi State at their field and you go to Auburn and Auburn's going to be playing for a chance to make a run for the Final Four, I mean, you only got to imagine, Chris, that defensive pressure on that Bama linebackers and front line is only going to rise in pressure, and we could be witnessing a hell of a game. And again, a little extra pressure on Alabama's offense, which is, you know, the situation like that are kind of rare for that team.
It really is. And speaking of Mississippi State, 17 seconds left. They went and you know, put a little risk out there because they had to because they were down 27-21 with 17 seconds left. They just scored. And Mike Kane scored, but they freaking missed the extra. What is up with the missed extra points? I mean, maybe I just feel it more because, you know, a couple years ago with the Vikings, you know, maybe I just feel it more. And I know that the NFL are further back. But and God bless Travis Homer, man. He had two big runs on that drive that they scored. But, yeah, it's a 9-point game. But, of course, the defense – just turned them over on downs with a couple of sacks. Thank God that they didn't lose this game. But I was going to hold true to it. I was going to hold true to it and not be overly pissed or anything like that just because I'm so happy about this season in general. But I know what you mean, man. It's true, man. I think it's like four linebackers down now, and I'm not sure who's coming back. Now, obviously, health-wise in general, the SEC, and I think it's very smart. Some people rip the SEC for this. I think it's very smart to have Mercer on my schedule right before I have a huge game. Because you got to, after all, you do have to. They're on your schedule, just like everybody else's schedule. Just because they don't happen in September, you know, or the last week in August, it's all in the same shit. It's not like you get extra credit and you're not going to go up in the polls or anything like that, you know, so. To me, I don't have a problem. I think it's really smart. And you look at most SEC teams have that scheduled this week.
Sure.
It makes sense. You get a chance to to, I mean, they won 56-0, so I'm guessing they got to play. I'm guessing if I go under the defensive stats, there's probably about, you know, I don't even know, like, I don't know, a ton of defensive players that played. You know what I mean? That helps, you know.
Speaking of the SEC, Chris, I think a game that I think a lot of people in their heads had Notre Dame winning, and I was listening to a podcast.
I love you, Travis Homer. I'm so sorry, but I love you, Travis Homer. He just scored again. My fault. I'm over here excited. Okay, sorry.
To give credit to your boys, I believe I was listening to a podcast this morning out of and they had a Vegas sports maker or a former website. But he said that the Miami win was the biggest profit his like sport betting website has made in like a decade. I guess the website's just cleaned up on Miami. It must have been just Notre Dame just galore. So we always like tying a little gambling, but I guess for that website they cleaned house. I think it's like BetAG. But anyways,
Notre Dame going into the week, though. I'll say that. It was heavy. I mean, I even felt it. It's like, God, that rushing attack. And, you know, Marshall, mm-hmm. really, that the reason why that rushing attack scared me even more is because they don't run the triple option. You know, like, you mean to tell me you're just lining up in a normal pro, in a sense anyway? You're just lining up. You're not doing that much trickery. You just hand the ball off and smash mouthing people, you know? And so that really worried me. But obviously, the Canes just weren't going to lose that game. And that's the first time, Marshall, I thought all year, okay, dude, they could actually win a national title. Because before, remember, I've been talking about next year and they have so many returning players. And it's really about this year's about establishing it. But last week, with that 41-8, I'm like, man, you know, it really started looking like those old Canes, especially on defense, you know, 4 weeks in a row with four turnovers. It's the first time since 2011 that a team has done that. And the funny thing is they didn't have a pick six with all those turnovers this year, and they obviously got one. And they got one at a key time, too, because Notre Dame possibly could have made it 20-7 or something before the end of the half. And that place, though, the thing about that place, they redid it where there's now, they call it a canopy, but it's really a roof. You know what I mean? I mean, there's an opening, some sun gets in, but they put that canopy in there because, obviously, as we know, it's South Florida's hot year-round, and it's sticky hot. You know what I mean? And a lot of people in those games that don't really, nobody cares about, they don't want to sit in the sun at noon. You know what I mean? They're like, dude, this you're going to die out there. You know what I mean? Like, so that canopy's really helped when it comes to that, the upper level and a good chunk of the lower level. And obviously, you know, it rains every other game there too. And sometimes it all of a sudden it'll just be like monsoon rain. And so that helps keep people at the games too, because a lot of times, like I said, it just rains and you're like, oh shit. You know, a lot of people, you know, respond to that weirdly or whatever, but what it's done, Marshall, the noise from the roof has kept it inside. And I thought there's really not that many, like, stadiums in college football that are indoor. And so – and it's not indoor like Cowboy Stadium, you know, where it has that roof but it's open. That's basically what the Miami Stadium is. However, the Hard Rock, they call it now. But – it's still 100,000, so the thing has to open up a lot more. Whereas this is more like the Viking Stadium, where it's 66,000 and it's tight knit, and you're close to the field. So that place goes apeshit now, and you can't always say that about the snobby Miami fans. Even the Heat, through their success, sometimes midweek, you look and be like, "Wow, it's not really as it's not sold out." It's like it's sold out. The people just aren't coming tonight. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's crazy,
though.
Said that about that website, though.
Yeah, he's just cleaned up. So, and to throw in my last 2 cents to recap last week, quickly, again, the other, we touched on all the main four games, might as well hit with the last one. That was Auburn, Georgia. And, again, just smacked in the mouth. I think I was trying to do my best to watch all the games last week, and I remember picking that game up, and I believe it was a tied score, or Auburn was up, or Georgia was up extremely early, and I saw a wide open touchdown pass get dropped by a Georgia receiver. This must have been early first quarter, or late,
yep.
whatever, first quarter. And you could just see that. And after that, like every time I turned the game back on, it was just Georgia getting stopped. Auburn run the ball. And it was just a field day. And so, you know, the two big things we heard coming into the week was Miami is going to get, you know, Notre Dame's going to run the ball down Miami's throat. And, well, Georgia's going to the, you know, SEC title game. Like they're going to play Bama. And who can beat Georgia? Georgia's number one. And it was just incredibly hyped up Georgia. And Auburn's like, dude, no. You know, we keep hearing about how all you all do is run. We're not going to let you run. And I won't put all the blame on the Georgia quarterback because I don't think he can. I think that'd be stupid. Now, the rumors have been that, okay, he can't throw that good of a ball. Let's see what the kid can do.
Yeah, they've been protecting him too this year, you know.
Yeah.
They knew they had a young quarterback.
Yeah. And in some fairness, okay, maybe Easton, whatever his name is, did not have his best game, but the whole team got smacked. I mean, you can blame the offensive line, you can blame the running backs, and you also say that Georgia just walked into, like, a lion's den. That game was game over, too. So we had incredible matchups of games that were supposed to be just high-flying, but after the first quarter, if you could just, like, go back in time and make a bet, you would have bet on Auburn to win, on Baker Mayfield to win, and Miami to win, and just after
four
play, all those games.
I don't know about the first quarter, though, with Auburn, because if you look at that first drive with Georgia, they went down, and it was 7-0. You're like, wow, they just fucking walked down the field, no problem. And they were kicking field goals. So I don't know about the first quarter, but, yeah, for sure, half.
Okay, you could tell in that game, because I did watch the most part of that, was second quarter, and the momentum had shifted. So maybe a little bit later. Now the Miami game at first quarter, if you could freeze, you're like, eh. I'm like, so, okay, maybe add a little extra time on there. But Auburn just came to play with that pet away.
Really,
dude, that dude, just a beast. Auburn just said, hey, you're not going to stop us running the ball. And Georgia's offensive production was basically irrelevant. So a nice win by Auburn. And even though they do have two losses, like everyone says, they do control their own destiny. If you can take care of Bama, who you're probably catching at a decent time due to injuries, and then get a rematch with Georgia in the SEC title game, Auburn could be in the Final Four. They were 66-1 odds to win the finals. And after the Georgia game, Chris, they went down to 17-1. So
wow.
If you're some Auburn diehard, you're like, you know what? If we beat Georgia this week and we beat Bama and we beat Georgia again, you know what the hell? But 66-1 down to 17-1. So
jeez.
I'm hoping some diehard Auburn fans are like, you know, dude, let's sprinkle a little money in there. We could get hot. You know, you never know. And 66-1 odds for a college football championship team is, I mean, that's insane. That's normally what you get. You know, you get that wild card team at the start of the year that no one thinks has a chance in hell, and they pull it off. But for college football, you know, so maybe some people cashed in on a 66-1 ticket that are just kind of going to be cheering their butts off for their Auburn for the rest of the year. But,
boy, I'd
but,
say
I,
so.
Jeez. So, yeah, that, like, I mean, hats off to Auburn. And they're lucky because they get Bama in Auburn, too. So, it just shows what a beast home field is, Chris. Because Oklahoma,
yeah,
Auburn,
especially in college,
and yeah,
especially
Oklahoma,
college.
Auburn, and Miami were all home field. And again, that Miami game, like people on ESPN, we haven't seen this place this jacked up forever. And you saw the defense flying around for your Canes and the crowd going nuts. And sometimes those teams are like, dude, we just walked into like I said, a lion's den, and barring a miracle, we're walking out here with a loss. It is cool to see environments get so jacked up on those big game days.
Yeah, and now Miami has extended their longest winning streak of the nation. I should say not their longest, but the longest to 15. And last week, the fifth-ranked Badgers, Wisconsin Badgers, they were 10-0, obviously, after that great. And once again, what a difference a week makes, right? Iowa just pummels, completely destroys Ohio State. Ohio State is the team that bounced back. They only put up 14, got beat basically in the second half, 38-14 by Wisconsin. It was the first time they were 10-0, and obviously now they're the first time that they're 11-0. So big shots out to them. In Bama, speaking of Bama, although, you know, the linebacker situation could get rough, especially, like you said, the two teams that are a threat to them both run the ball very well. And like you said, especially Auburn at home. But almost unbelievably, under Nick Saban, this is the fifth time, Marshall, out of 11 years that he's 10-0. That's pretty freaking crazy.
Jeez. That's not too bad.
That is nuts. Demi Croft last week, just kind of wrapping up the week, 183. Like I said, school record for rushing, put up 54, but this week didn't put up anything. And then Navy running back Malcolm Perry had 33 carries, 282 and four touchdowns, and a really close win over SMU, 43-40. I think that's about all. I think that wraps it up. And, you know, that's the funny part about it. You know, Wisconsin now moves on. And the bummer thing about Wisconsin, in a sense, although playing in their division, I know that it's now three out of the last 4 years that they haven't – they've only had to play – well, actually, this year they had to play Michigan, obviously. They played them today, but the 2 years before that, back-to-back, they didn't have to play Michigan State, Ohio State, or Michigan on their schedule. Last year it popped up for 1 year, but then it went back to this where they only play Michigan out of that side. And it's getting old. It's, like, really weird. It's like they told us that it would come around, and it came around for 1 year, and it just said, no, actually, we're going back to this. Like, what? But anyway, what does suck for Wisconsin this year, though, being undefeated and all that, is – Iowa, right, Marshall, just got in the rankings last week. They beat them soundly, then they bump out of the rankings. This week, Michigan enters the ranking for the first time, as far as, you know, these rankings, the real rankings.
Yeah.
And they came in at 24. They get beat. They're going to drop down. You know what I mean? So that's a little worrisome, a little troublesome for them. Getting in there. We just talked about Auburn. When you look at that resume, it's so hard to deny that. If, in fact, I mean, obviously they have their work cut out for them. It's almost better that they had that week in between so they don't necessarily have that huge letdown, you know, from week to week with that emotion. They get that extra week to be like, all right, dude, that shit's done. It's over. You know, whereas I could see that kind of affected the Canes today, and really Virginia is not that bad of a club. I've kind of ran into watching them a couple of times and bet some point spreads or predicted some point spreads. And by the way, Mississippi State did get the job done 28-21. A couple of games starting to kick off. Oklahoma, Kansas, ooh, that's a barn burner. 38.5 favorite. Not sure that'll be that good. I do want to see, speaking of bounce back, Marshall, and speaking of against the spread category, Kentucky, a team that in September you were talking about, and here they are, 7-3, very respectable, 23.5 points. Georgia. Now, I do think Kentucky's going to lose the game, but can an unfocused Georgia, who already is in the game, you know, there are – oh, wait, whoa. They are – is this
yeah,
they're already in, right?
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I was like, there's no non-conference loss that Kentucky had, and there's a chance there, but no, I don't – yeah, okay. And then I do want to see that Navy-Notre Dame game just because I want to see how Notre Dame responds as well. And also, speaking of rush versus rush, that's a big game for different styles of running. But you're right, man. You look at the rest of the schedule, I mean – Utah is obviously not the team they were probably 6 weeks ago. They do have Washington. You never know. Washington's not that great this year. They're 8-2. I guess they could pull an upset. You look down this way, you know, here's one. NC State now is actually an underdog on the road at Wake Forest. And Wake, as we know, at 6-4 is really not that bad of a club. They're pretty good, actually. They play a lot of teams tight. And they I don't know, that's an interesting game. That starts at 6:30. Wake is now a 2.5-point favorite. But, I mean, can you think of some more hardcore games? I'm going to open up the schedule here on ESPN. Is there any other games that kind of stand out to you, or any kind of storylines that you want to talk about? Or I'm trying to think. I mean, as far as, like, entertainment, that Syracuse-Louisville game will probably be entertaining that just kicked off.
Sure.
TCU got the job done without their starting quarterback. This is kind of a surprise, 27-3. That's 3 points. But I mean, TCU, sure, you know, they got a good, great, solid defense. They couldn't really show it against Oklahoma, you know, but who can? A week ago, but 27-3, dude. That kind of opens up my eyes a little bit. Texas got a nice win over West Virginia, who's really struggled down the stretch, 28-14. Florida State got a W today, 77-6. They played DSU. That's what their thing is, DSU. What is that, Delaware? Yep, Delaware State.
Delaware, yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah.
That's not Delaware. That's Delaware State. That's not what's-his-toes from Baltimore. That's where he went, I think, Delaware. That's not Delaware. That's Delaware State, dude. Wow. So they got a nice little W. What else do you want to talk about?
I mean, normally I would say that if UCLA's defense was a little bit more than actually the worst run defense in the country, I could try to sell a little bit for USC-UCLA, but that's just me being
sure,
a fan.
Sure, the
I
rivalry,
think that
the battle it, for L.A.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they've had some hyped-up games over the last couple of years, and it's fun to ever be, but can't – I mean – last week, USC ran for over 400 yards, and now they're playing a UCLA defense who is the worst in the country, so there's no telling what USC's running backs are going to do. I maybe look at betting the over in that game. I know it's like 72 or 74 or something, but, I mean, USC, I mean, Rosen's going to put up points, and I don't see how USC's going to get stopped. So, I mean, that's an okay game to watch. Again, I get speaking of gambling, the whole world has been on Missouri. Every site or podcast I've heard, everyone's blown up on Missouri.
I was just going to bring that up next. I was like, so how do you feel being a 7.5-point favorite on the road as a Missouri fan this year? They've turned around their season a little bit, dude. They're 5-5 now.
Yeah, and they've been on a roll. The crazy thing is that guy, the dude I mentioned, that the online site that cashed in on Miami, 95% of actions on Missouri on their site today. So
wow.
It's one of those moments where you're like, the whole world is betting Missouri, and every gambler in their life has had that day where you're like, dude, everybody's doing it. I'm gonna jump off the bridge with you.
We're gonna do this together.
Well, everyone's been on,
it's like,
yeah,
crap.
Right,
we're gonna have a team and do it all together.
Money. Easy money, and, you know, and everyone, that's the moment before kickoff. And then when the game's over and the whole world lost, you're like, dude, what were we thinking? Well, you know, you told me it was a lock. Well, you know, well, he said it was a lock, too. And you're like, so, Chris, when the whole world's on Mizzou, it's like, oh, God. You know, that's the moment
yeah.
where you're like, So I think they're going to win, but when you got, I mean, 80 to 90% of people betting on your team, you're kind of like, I'm going to stay away and hope they win. But you just
yeah.
get that sixth unit of karma in the back of your head. You're like, oh, crap, this is going to be no shot. You just get that sixth unit of, like, this isn't going to feel good. I will say for Missouri, from, like, a legit standpoint, I think it's a heck of a comeback from where they were. This was a
yeah.
team, I mean, not that they've had a great season by any means at all, but this was a team that was about to fire their coach. They got torched by Purdue, they got torched by Auburn, they got torched by the South Carolina, beat them pretty handily. I mean, this was a team that was off to a very, very bad start on the season. And they found a way to bounce back. When now, on one hand, the one reason I'm not super high on Missouri is the fact that the last couple of games they've won, they beat up on Florida, who was, you know, had just fired their coach. And last week they beat Tennessee, and that was the nail in the grave for the coach there. So am I happy Missouri's putting up points? Yes, but you just now beat Florida and Tennessee, who have just been like dumpster fires, you know. So is Missouri really that good, or have they just been playing a schedule with teams who are in like soap opera mode and, you know, cashing in on that? So I don't know. I like that apparently the players have not given up on the season, and I think Odom's going to stay. Maybe we're going up in the right direction. But, again, when the whole world's betting Missouri, I'm just going to watch the game and hope they win. But realistically, like, that's Missouri and Manny, and unless you're a fan, you probably don't give two cares about that. And USC, UCLA, besides that, you know, yeah, this is a tough slate. And, you know, because even that weekend when I was in Vegas, Chris, like, I was trying to watch the Oklahoma game and Georgia, South Carolina at the same time. And then there's, you know, a handful of others. And it's like, you know, it's almost like there should be a little bit of flexibility in adjusting kickoffs and times just for the simple point of ratings or college football.
Well, you know, they did have flexibility. That's the thing. Fox waited and waited and waited. And then all of a sudden it was 11 o'clock game. You're like, dude, Michigan is ratings gold no matter when, you know, as long as they have a winning season, they're gold. And, like, I just don't understand. They waited. They didn't have this 11 o'clock thing slotted. I thought they were waiting to see if Michigan was going to keep winning and, you know, and get ranked. And here, and so I was saying people at work, because we're a Packer bar on Sundays, but we also do Badger games, obviously. And I'm saying that thing's probably going to get switched. It's Fox. It'll probably get switched to the prime time. And sure enough, I don't get it, man.
You know, if you want to watch offense, turn into Arizona, Oregon.
I was
going to
say that
77.
Next.
I would not touch the under. Khalil Tate for Arizona has, 111 carries this year and 1,293 rushing yards. That's pretty good. and then you have an Oregon offense. It's always moving. So, I mean, for a strictly offensive game, that'd be fun. On ESPN2, you have Texas A&M against Ole Miss. On a regular season, that might be a little bit of higher stakes. I believe Texas A&M's GM, not GM, Booster Club basically said that some of them had to get 8 wins this year. Right now they're 6-4. They've lost some hype, but they have not had a joke of a season. This could be the nail in the coffin for someone, with all these SEC coaches losing their jobs, and Bielema must probably go to Arkansas.
This is the season for nail in the coffins right now, too, isn't it, in November? It's like, oh, dude, you better win this one. You know, and it's like people are just falling by the wayside right now.
I mean, Texas A&M, Ole Miss shouldn't be a bad game. Ole Miss, you can give them a little bit of credit for a team that started the year off, Chris, with all sorts of issues from what the coach was doing. They had to, like, kind of empty house. Maybe lost a couple of recruits. Just kind of started off the year in turmoil. They're 5-5, 2-4. I mean, are they allowed to go to a bowl this year? They're probably not, are they?
Well, I think it's up to them, because they haven't been sanctioned yet. So if they're smart, they wouldn't do it. But you know how people are.
Yeah. But I mean, it would be a nice win for them to beat A&M tonight, go to 6-5 for a team that most people kind of just wrote off at the start of the year with an intern coach and a team that was like, well, Ole Miss is done this year after what happened. I mean, you know, you kind of feel bad for those kids because they really weren't playing to burn their coach, not making smart decisions. So, I mean, that's a decent game. Florida, I mean, I might as well mention Lane Kiffin, Florida Atlantic. They're 6-0 playing Florida International. Gets your former guy Butch Davis. That actually wouldn't be that bad of a game to watch, but it's not on television.
Yeah.
you know, realistically, maybe to switch the ball up a little bit here, Chris. Of the top, so let me ask you this: who do you right now, just for disregard, just your own mind, who would you say right now in your mind are the two best teams in the country? Just to have a little fun open table discussion here. Who do you think are the two best teams playing the best football in the country as of right now?
It's an interesting point because, you know, going into the Virginia Tech game for Miami when they were 10th, I believe, and Wisconsin was 9th, and I thought Wisconsin had started turning the corner earlier than the Canes because they started putting teams away. You know, Wisconsin, that was the thing. They kept having teams linger on them a little bit. And obviously, mm-hmm. it was beyond linger for the Canes. You know, they had teams that were that were almost winning the games, especially those back-to-back weeks of Florida State and Georgia Tech, to have to do it in the closing moments like that. So I wouldn't have put Miami anywhere near it because Notre Dame had that mantle, in my opinion, you know?
Sure.
You know, had or last week anyway. But I'd have to say, as far as right now playing the best off of that Notre Dame game and then them getting, you know, I kind of anticipated this being a tougher game. Today, that quarterback played great, by the way. He had 4 touchdowns. He really probably played the best out of any quarterback this year against the Canes. That and the Syracuse guy. Those two quarterbacks probably did the most damage this year. But I'd say Miami. And I feel like Clemson has got their mojo back. But it's really hard to deny Oklahoma, too. And Wisconsin. Really, if you look at the last 2 weeks now. So I'd say Miami, Oklahoma, and Wisconsin. I know you said 2. I'm giving you 3.
I can accept that. I think the one issue with Wisconsin, and it's like a 50-50 because they may have, again, the best defense in the country out of the top 10 teams in the country right now, but they by far have the worst quarterback out of the top 10 teams in the country by far. So I think they're an interesting dynamic, Chris, because you've basically been hearing people say all season about how Wisconsin, they haven't played anyone. They haven't played anyone. They're not that good. They haven't played anyone. Well, realistically, we all know you can't control your schedule. They did schedule, you know, BYU in the non-conference, which normally is a respectable game.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think they're non-conference. Yeah, and their non-conference schedule was in joke, but I do think that the interesting thing for them is that their defense might be the best in the country, especially with a couple injuries. Bama, unfortunately, like Bama, Wisconsin lost their star linebacker, Sitchy, who's been an All-American. He tore up his knee. So they've had a couple of injuries, but it'll be very interesting to see if they do make the Final Four about how if this dude can't actually step up and make some throws. Last week you mentioned Wisconsin smoked Iowa. The only reason Iowa scored 14 points, Chris, was because those were 2 pick sixes. So
yeah,
that literally is a pick six.
I thought, Iowa's in this freaking game. They're gonna find a way. You know, like this is getting kind of. I think they're gonna win. I had a feeling that the momentum was gonna switch and. You know, to the credit of Wisconsin, they stifled that pretty quickly. But then again, are they playing? What's the best offense they've played? If we're going to look at defensive stats, you know, so you got to throw that in there too. What's the best offense they've played?
That's fair. I think part of that might be reputation because for the last 7 or 8 years, Wisconsin's defense has
same
been legit in premier.
Yeah.
You know, so part of that's reputation, but so that's why I would mean to say I'd probably say just for a hot take, I'd probably go with Oklahoma currently and probably Auburn currently, just because I think Oklahoma probably has the best offense in the country. Now I know it's run and gun Big 12. You're going to say, well, if they played in the SEC, you know, would they really be able to put the, I mean, What that offense has done with Baker Mayfield has been pretty crazy. I know that it is the Big 12, and defensive, you mentioned famously, is optional. But, Oklahoma State's defense is not a joke, and neither is TCU's. And Oklahoma's moved the ball pretty darn well, both of them, the last couple of weeks. So I'd go with Oklahoma, and I think that
– I'm more worried about their defense. That's what I would say to that. I'm not worried about – I think they can put points on anybody, but their defense is garbage.
Their defense is just as bad as Wisconsin's quarterback. That's the thing. We really don't have a complete solid team. And the reason I like Auburn is because I think that what they did to Georgia showed that, hey, we got a Pedway running back, and we're smoking hot right now too. So I'd go with Auburn and Oklahoma. But yeah, it is weird how a lot of those teams have such a hot and cold part of their team. Speaking of your team, obviously your defense has done more than enough this year. Is how much concern do you have in the Miami quarterback? Because a lot of the times the reason the Miami Hurricanes have been in close games, it's not really been your defense's fault. I mean, no one's defense is perfect in college, but would you say, like, from the hot to cold being scared meter, do you trust your Miami quarterback in big games? I'm not saying he's Wisconsin level, because I think that'd be a slap in the face. I think he's a level above Hornibrook. How much do you trust the Hurricanes quarterback as we kind of dissect the hot and cold part of the teams at the top in contention right now?
Yeah, I mean, we can't even put that in the same sentence. He's far over that dude. But
agreed.
It's not just him. It's the offense as a whole. They have had slow starts. Yeah, that's been their biggest thing. Now, second half, I mean, I'll trust my fourth quarter offense with anybody in the nation, because we've proven it. You know what I mean? We've been on the field. We've needed the touchdowns. We've gotten it. It is kind of weird to, have a question mark considering how well he and the offense played in the second half and in the fourth quarter. But, yeah, man, that's really what the problem was early is they'd start slow. Now, we've had some the turnovers in the Virginia Tech game, and then in not last week, but this one as well. As a whole, the thing is, at times his footwork does get a little mixed up. So he'll float a ball from time to time. Thing I like about him, though, when he misses a guy, it was the right guy to go to. What the coaches keep stressing. So it's not like he's making poor decisions. He's definitely not making poor decisions, throughout the season he hasn't. So and even some of those turnovers, one of them, the coach said, just put it up on one-on-one and see who comes down with it, and the Virginia Tech guy came down with it, So I think that is what's going to – and that's what keeps me from talking a bunch of trash, you know what I mean? That's what keeps me from holding on to just remember this season, dude. Keep focused on how happy you are right now. And if they can get the job done next week on the road at a struggling Pitt team, yeah, it's cold. I think that actually preps them for any kind of cold weather that they get midway on that coast. You know what I mean? Because once in a while you will get some damp and cold weather there at this time in that ACC championship game I'm speaking of. So that actually is kind of a nice, because it'll be much colder up north, you'd assume, you know?
Sure.
All the way up in Pitt, right? So if they can get by that, I just look at it and go, dude, you're either in the Rose Bowl in the semis or you're in the Orange Bowl at home. You know what I mean? Like, I'm good. No matter what happens with Clemson, I'm good, dude. You give me Rose Bowl semifinals or, like I said, at home at the Orange Bowl, that's old-time Canes. Like, you know how many Orange Bowl key games we played in the Orange Bowl? Just because that's how they do it, right? They always go, well, we're going to go regional now. What place is going to sell more tickets? And that's what it comes down to, right? I do think that the offense in general, and at times, not his decision-making per se, but Rozier's accuracy at times. I think it goes back to that baseball, because he's got such a good arm that he just, I can get it off, dude. Don't worry about it. You know, like, nah, dude, you need your feet in the right spot. You can't rely on your, you know what I mean? The one thing, though, that they've done is They've made him more into a runner now, too. And our run game has gone to the next level, and we're now wearing teams down, Marshall, with our run game. The last 28 plays of that Notre Dame game were run. In that Virginia Tech game, I think the last 17 were run, you know what I mean? And they were gaining on them, you know what I mean? It wasn't like they were just burning clock. They were actually gaining yards and scoring, much like they did here in this second half, or in this fourth quarter, I should say. In the last 6 minutes, he got like a good chunk of 50 yards of his rushing yards out of the 96 or whatever. But, yeah, that is the only thing that holds me back, Marshall, is like in the fact that we haven't been there, done that, you know what I mean? That's kind of true. As a program with these guys, I mean, the last time we played Clemson, dude, they kicked the shit out of them. 56-0 or something like that. It was 2015, I believe. Just kicked the snot out of them. So, that does. The first half offense does kind of scare me, yeah, for sure. And that's what's keeping me, like, humbled and grounded.
I think that, you know, normally the conference championship weekend, Chris, in 2 weeks normally isn't, like, super excitable for me because I think normally we seem to have a decent idea going into it. Now, obviously, upsets can happen. But this year, I really think that December 2nd day, where you got Bama, Auburn, Clemson, Miami, Oklahoma against Oklahoma
Bama,
State.
Bama, Auburn's next week.
Bama, Georgia, or Auburn, Georgia. I do think that this championship weekend will be more important than others, just simply due to the fact that everyone has a mistake on their slate, and. You know, for all we keep hearing about people saying Wisconsin and all, what have they done? They've kind of had a little bit of luck because a lot of people have lost in front of them. And when you're looking at resumes, I know that the Wisconsin resume isn't exactly gorgeous with the victories, but that zero, if it was fair on your record, is actually very beneficial to you. I mean, we did kind of have a 3-week stretch of just complete, utter upsets. And if that doesn't happen, Wisconsin could be saying, like, dude, we had a good run, but, you know, this one loss team ahead of us just took care of business, and it's bad luck for us in a way. But Wisconsin, people can keep saying what they want. They're kind of moving up naturally. And now if you're Wisconsin and you see Miami and Clemson ahead of you, well, one of them's going to win. Now, this is assuming Wisconsin could win out. But the reputation of them not, you know, playing a good enough record, well, it doesn't matter. They're going to kind of move up anyway. So, I think this conference championship weekend is going to be a little more excitement filled because there literally could be bursts on the line. I know last year we kind of debated about, well, who should we put in? Ohio State, Penn State, we had a Big Ten, circled argument for about half an hour last year. I remember doing that with you, brother. But this year, there's literally going to be, okay, you're playing in your conference championship title game. If you win, you're in the Final Four. If you lose, see ya. No, I shouldn't. Well, you're going to a bowl game, but it won't be the big. There literally could be an elite eight style. I know that we don't call it that, but there's going to be conference championship games this year where it's legit. If you win, you're in. Like if Oklahoma wins out, they're going to Final Four, but they're going to have to play a Big 12 title game, which I'm actually going to. I was having drinks with a friend, and we were just kind of going back and forth, and she was showing me this ticket website, which appeared to have pretty good ticket prices. So popped up and there's a 10th row seat. I end up paying $200. It'll be 10th row at Dallas Cowboys Stadium.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, sweet.
I'll be in the 10th row and I paid $200 total for that game. Now I don't know who it's gonna be, but I mean $200 for 10th row like in the end zone. That's a pretty good deal. I know it's a little expensive, but I mean $200 for that stadium in bottom section.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's really good.
So I found like click. So I'm hoping it'll be a fun game. But yeah, I think that I've repeated myself too much. But this championship weekend is going to be huge compared to normally where it's like, oh, we got the championship title conference games. Here we go. This could be all or nothing, brother, which could make 2 weekends from now very entertaining.
coming off an interesting weekend next weekend. You're right. I agree. There's a lot of times where you line up and you go, you know what? Clemson or Florida State's going to win the ACC. Alabama's going to win out of Florida. You know, like, it's, you're right. You're right. Sometimes the AC or the Pac-12 can be interesting. Obviously, we haven't had the Big 12, but they usually have to line up that last game, and it doesn't always line up. A lot of times it's the second of the week or the week, you know, 2 weeks before the end of the season. Obviously, now that's, you know, a fixed thing for them. But you're right. It is interesting. I mean, usually the Big Ten game's pretty interesting. And it obviously is now. You're right. It definitely does. Here's the problem for Wisconsin. Here's the biggest problem I see for Wisconsin. This is beyond their quarterback. This is even beyond their quarterback. Here's the
which
problem.
Is a big problem.
A huge problem. The biggest problem. Here's the problem, though.
Okay.
Next week, they got to travel to Minnesota. Okay?
Uh-oh.
They have to play the Golden Gophers outdoors at a stadium that will be filled half with Badger fans. They have to go and accomplish it. So they're, you know, it's the season's not over. Go back to that website you've been talking about. I bet you Minnesota gets the most bets out of, no, I'm just kidding. I got nothing. But it will suck, though.
Yeah.
I mean, do you feel, now that they've started putting it on people, this doesn't really feel like that Iowa team from a couple of years ago, right? It's starting to not feel like that because midseason it felt a lot like that, you know, where you're like, man, they're going to go and get beat in the Big Ten title game. This team's not as good as the record tells you. But now that they've started to put people away and start beating up people, I think it is a different ball game, you know what I mean? But I got to say, like, midseason, it kind of started feeling like, wow, this might be the Hawkeye team that made it all the way unbeaten just to get beat, you know? But I don't see that. I don't see that this year.
Well, let's spin this a little for you, brother, before we get out of here today, simply due to the fact that we really don't have a whole lot of great games to break
down.
Yeah,
let's have this be the last topic, though, because I do got to wrap it up because I got shit to do.
Sure. Is it possible that your Gophers were looking ahead to the Badgers? Now, they came out of the tight one today. It was 39-0.
That's what it is.
But I think that you were looking ahead. Now,
it
if
was
you win
windy,
next
too.
Week, go to,
it was a windy day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the wind could cause that. You can lose 39-0 off wind alone.
Well, and if you notice, the wind was switching directions every time the Gopher had the ball. So there was an inclement weather change to where they were going against the wind all four quarters. And that, I mean, that's almost unprecedented. It's not supposed to happen. But up north, you never know. So you beat the Badgers next week. You ruin their season. You become bowl eligible. PJ Fleck gets carried off the field. The goalposts may get torn down at UCF Field. I'm not ruling that out of possibilities.
I think it would.
The Gophers
were
looking
ahead.
I really
think it would.
they probably would carry him off the field with a goalpost missing. And then the Big Ten would have to find someone, but I don't think anyone would care. I will say, though, just like any other rivalry, that is a massive rivalry. Okay, now, clearly it's not Alabama-Auburn, but the people up there, I mean, those states hate each other just as much as they do. The football programs maybe don't have the prominence, but, I mean, wasn't it 2 years ago where it literally Wisconsin was playing to win the Big Ten and Minnesota was up at half? I mean, this is a game where, you know, it is a huge rivalry, just like Washington State, wherever you want to go on the map. This is a big game, so obviously the Badgers are going to be a favorite, but it would be I would be very excited to hear you do a show. And I am cheering for Wisconsin because my a close friend of mine's whole family is there, and I've kind of cheered along with them forever. But if the Badgers could pull off an upset and beat Wisconsin, man, I would love to let you do a podcast next week or 2 weeks from now and let you just kind of take the mic and run with it for a little bit because that would be a hell of a sweet win for you. So you never know, Chris. That's why they play the game.
That is true. But, you know, there's certain times where you just got to take what you got and appreciate it, and I'm doing that this year. But, yeah, I mean, you're right. It was, you know, I was in Vegas with my buddy, and they were up 20-10 at half, and they actually had fumbled and that's the reason why it fumbled in their own red zone, and that was the only touchdown they had at that time. Then the run game, you know, then Matt Leinart came out, or not Matt Leinart, but Leinart, he showed his limitations, I'll say it nicely. And then they just ran the ball down our throat for the rest of the game, and they won the game. But, yeah, for sure, you never know. You never know. You just never know.
To skedaddle out the door here. Oh, I found it. All right. Now, this is crappy pick of the week, a little bit of a spin on it because not really. Now, we've had a lot of games played today. There's not a whole lot of craziness. There's no 1-9. It's 1-9. So, We're going to go with New Mexico State, and I got a feeling that I'm going to predict who you're going to pick in this game just because. New Mexico State's 4-5. You're thinking, okay, 2-3 in the Sun Belt. They're having a little bit of a rough year. And they're going to be walking in to Cajun Field in Lafayette, Louisiana.
Uh-oh.
This is more of a crappy pick. Not crappy, because crappy, we normally do crappy picks like, say these teams are garbage. This is a crafty pick, the crafty bitch I made my good buddy Chris years ago. They're walking into Cajun Field, Lafayette, Louisiana, who's also 4-5, 3-2 in the Sun Belt. So they got a game up in conference. But New Mexico State's a 4-point favorite, Chris. Vegas said, we don't care about Cajun Field. We think they're trash. We're going to give New Mexico State a 4-point advantage on the road and just saying, you guys are going to get it done. Chris, I want to hear you break down the New Mexico State game against our adopted team, the Raging Cajuns. What's your gut saying on this? Now, I know you're always a road favorite kind of guy, but I don't know if you can win that way today.
Well, according to Vivid Seats, there's only 91 tickets available, left.
Uh-oh.
So, I mean, that tells you Cajun Field is going to be a rockin'. That tells you that Cajun Field is going to have plenty of spice to it. Now, this is a pretty solid matchup. Both defenses well over 30 points that they give up. Now, New Mexico can sling the you-know-what out of the ball. They average 359 yards passing per game.
Jesus.
And the Raging Cajuns, they give up 270, which is a little high. The problem with the Raging Cajuns is they give up 220 on the ground per game, too. They give up 222 on the ground. Oh, my God. That's tough to do. Holy crap. I can't believe that New Mexico is averaging 359 yards passing. And they still, barely go over 100 rushing yards. Wow. This is a good one, man. Man, it's really hard to go against that arm. It's really hard to go against that arm, man. But that arm does throw a lot of Rogers. T. Rogers is his name. I don't know his first name. I'm going to go with Tim Rogers. T. Rogers has put up some really impressive numbers. I mean, obviously, if he's averaging that many passing yards. 23 touchdowns in the air, but 15 picks. Huh. Interesting. Man. Gosh. It's so hard to go against the Raging Cajuns, dude. And now, I mean, knowing that they only have 91 tickets left, available on Vivid Seats, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, $48. They start at $48, so that tells you there's something going on there. Man. You know what? I'm going to side with ESPN's Football Power Index that has them 60.70, or 7, I mean. Well, I guess that would be 70, 60.70. As much as I hate to say it, I'm going to stay with the road team. They're not the dog, though, so that might be a problem. No, I'm going with the road team. I'm going against my Raging Cajuns, unfortunately. Those passing yards just... The passing yards and especially giving up that many rushing yards, too, I'm afraid of it. I'll just admit it. So I'm going with, are they like the Bandits or something? Their guy is a bank robber, basically. That's the New Mexico State Bandits. What are they? They're in the Sun Belt. We know that. They're the Aggies. The Aggies.
Oh, yeah. They're the Aggies. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
So that's an Aggie. That dude with the well, actually, he doesn't look like a bank robber because it'd be over his face. So, all right. Yeah, I'm going with those guys, the New Mexico guys, the Aggies. They're gonna pass for 422 yards.
Deep down inside, I believe you're doing reverse psychology by picking this game for the greater good of our adopted team, the Raging Cajuns, who are going to win. So I think you're a bigger man for doing that pick, and Chris, I appreciate that. All right, so Chris and I will be back next week breaking down the Raging Cajun game because there's really not much else to break down. And I do hope that USC wins, and for all we know, Mizzou is going to lose, and half the people are going to lose their mortgages in this country. But to finish on a positive note, we always appreciate your support. We will be getting into the nitty-gritty here soon because next week is basically rivalry. You get Auburn, Alabama, Wisconsin, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota. Basically every team that still has a game left on their season is playing their huge rival, Washington State. I've always enjoyed watching the Apple Bowl. I don't know how I always seem to catch that. Next week's football is going to be off the chain, and for all we know, one of the teams on top five or six is probably going to lose because that's the way this year's been. So we'll be back next week. Thanks always for the listens. I thankfully have no bad news to report, so knock on wood, we had a relatively stressful or non-stressful week of news and stuff, so let's hope that continues. And the boys will be back soon. We're getting close to the Final Four, and as Chris said, don't leave after football's done because we have college basketball, and that team named Duke is ranked number one, so I will have plenty of venom to dish their way. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Be safe. The boys are out. Have a good night.